Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. It's called A Fascinating Story of History, Fiction, and Mysticism, with the author's blend of historical knowledge and creativity merging to make an engaging story. High praise for the historical fiction Survival of the Blood by Beth Bristow. Charles Stewart came to Scotland seeking support to dethrone England's King George II and replace him with his father, James Stewart. If the Highlanders will join his uprising, his promise to them is freedom from the English tyranny, as well as guns, artillery, and provisions for the battle. However, in the Battle of Culloden began, weary Highlanders had no weapons or food. They faced the king's British army, who were trained, armed, and ready for battle. Those Highlanders who were not killed were taken prisoner. A rich history of Scotland's Highlanders and how their lives were lived before and after the war. When Beth discovered she had Clan Cameron ancestors, it was natural for her to seek more information about them. After many trips to Scotland, she says the most memorable thing was when she first saw the misty mountains and the glens of the Highlands. It felt as if she had returned home, and she feels the same way every time she returns to Scotland. Beth has written several articles and short stories about English and Scottish history on her Facebook page, Scotland, Beloved Country. She has two books titled Survival of the Blood, first published book we'll talk about today, and Tragedy of the Blood. Beth is a certified family counselor, resides in the Mississippi Gulf Coast with her British bagpipe-playing husband and dog, Millie. Beth Bristow, author of Survival of the Blood, is our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Beth. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Looking forward to the program today. It's such a fascinating job that you've done in relating history to us and telling us this story. I know this was important to you. Why is it important today that there'll be an awareness of the plight of Scotland's people in the 18th century? Why is that important?
Well, you know, in the time frame that book was written, there were people that all over the world that were struggling and trying to maintain freedom. And, you know, that's true even today. When I stop and think about it, in Israel, people are constantly worried about their freedom and worried about, you know, what's going to happen to them next. In America, we don't have that sense of not being free and worrying, having to worry about tomorrow. It's a worldwide problem, even now. Seeking freedom and wanting to be free. So that's what began the book. As I began writing, I realized just how really worldwide this sense of loss of freedom really is.
You know, it's fascinating because we have the relevance today. We've got this historical story that you tell so well. The book is Survival of the Blood. Beth Bristow is the author and our guest on the program. I'll let you know where the book's available. You'll find it at pageturner.us in the bookstore, Beth's own website, bethbristowauthor.com. I gave a little bit of the background, sort of set the book up there without hopefully giving away too much, but talk about the English monarchy and the way they punished the people of Scotland, and they did, didn't they?
They did indeed. They disliked them intently. I think it had to do with the fact that the Scottish people were Gaelic. They lived in a Gaelic nation, one of seven Gaelic nations. And to the English, the Scottish people who spoke the Gaelic were foreign, and they just disliked them intently. King George II was the one who really disliked the Scottish people the most, and he considered them to not have good character. He thought of them as being without good English standards, and of course, in reality, the people of Scotland were and still are very disciplined people with high work standards, and the Scottish people are known to be honest to a fault. They're good, hardworking people, and I just fail to understand and be able to grasp why a king, a member of the monarchy, would be so disliking of the Scottish people. Scotland is part of the British Isles, and to me, not liking part of the country that you're a ruler over is just not, it's just not acceptable. I just can't relate to that today, but That's now. And back then, it was a different situation.
You were able to emotionally capture, we feel that as we read your book, Survival of the Blood. A lot of tears as you read the book, as you feel the emotions that people are going through. Do you think some of this with the Scottish people, the way they were treated, was to get them to understand the rules in order to conform to English standards? Was that the end game, do you think? Was that the purpose?
Yeah, it really was. And one of the things that I have to say right now is that the Scottish people had absolutely no intention of conforming to an English king standards. In fact, they fought that bitterly.
Yes.
They were, I guess the word would be horses of a different kind. From an ethnic standpoint, their Celtic background is one of the things that separated them from the people of England, because the people of England had a different background, a different heritage, and the English monarchy couldn't understand this, and it just for them it made it even more difficult, because King George II didn't like the Celtic language that the Scottish people spoke. He didn't like the way they looked. He didn't like the fact that they wore a tartan that went with their clan. He just absolutely disliked the Scottish people. No matter what they did, it would not have mattered. He didn't like them, period.
We think of them as often caught up in controversy. Has it always been that way that Scotland's people have been so controversial?
That's so interesting when you put it that way. Yes, they are controversial. They just wanted to live peacefully. They wanted to play the bagpipes, speak their Gaelic language, and live their lives in peace. But it didn't happen that way. They didn't want trouble with the English monarchy, but the King George II and his son William Augustus disliked the Scottish people so very much that they led them to, and the Scots finally said, "We're going to fight for our freedom and for our right to be able to live here." And there was a horrible battle that took place in 1746, and in that battle, over 5,000 Scottish Highlanders died on that battlefield. That history stayed with me, so and was so poignant that when I began writing about it, my poor husband had to deal with me. I would come to bed at night crying because of the Scottish Highlanders and the terrible injustice done to them. To me, it was just unthinkable that such a thing could happen. But it did.
Well, and it's
It did.
interesting because as a reader, we feel that as well. As an author, sometimes we think of authors as detached. You're a writer, you are an historian, a researcher, maybe not quite as emotionally tied up in the story, but it impacted you from what you say as well. This really, when you learn the full story, this took its toll on you emotionally as well, didn't it?
It did indeed. My poor husband had to deal with that. I came to bed bawling one night, and he said, "What on earth is
Well,
the
that
problem?" And I
realism, yes, that what you felt you are able to convey to the readers. Beth Bristow is our guest on the program. If you're Googling, that's Bristow. The book is Survival of the Blood. Her website is bethbristowauthor.com. The book is available for sale at all Amazon sites, Barnes & Noble, Page Turner's Bookstore, Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia and New Zealand. A lot more. Basically, wherever they sell books, you'll get information. You can link onto our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and go directly to Beth's website and Page Turner's and get information as well. We speak of the people of the seven Celtic nations. And what does that actually mean? Who are they? Who are these people from the Celtic nations?
Well, there's actually seven Celtic nations: Scotland, Ireland, Wales, the Isle of Man in England, Cornwall, also in England, Brittany, France, and Galicia, Spain. The people of these countries at one time spoke the Gaelic language, different dialects, still it was the Gaelic language. And that language is still in use in many places today. If you were to visit Wales, or you were to visit Cornwall, England, you would hear the Gaelic being spoken today. So that's one of the things that drew those nations together, was the fact that they shared common ancestors many, many years ago. And the Gaelic language is so very fascinating. It's not like any other language that you would hear. Far different from, say, Spanish or French. And there's quite a mystery about where that language came from, where it originated. And I'm not sure that there will ever be an answer for that. I think it's lost in the time, really.
So, well, you mentioned mystery there, and that's interesting. Go back to something you said before, the Celtic people following a different set of rules and standards. Is that the main reason you think that the English had a problem accepting the Scots, was the difference in rules and standards? Did that play a key role in the problems?
You know, that's a difficult question to answer, because I've tried so hard to put myself back in the time frame of the Scottish people during that time that I wrote about, and I just couldn't come up with an answer that made sense to me, because I do not understand a monarchy over rulers, over people of a place, and then disliking them so much. I just cannot, I can't relate to that. It just doesn't make sense to me. And even today, as I think about it, there's still a sense of disdain from the English people toward the people of Scotland, Ireland, Wales. It's just not an explainable thing that I will never be able to understand it.
And you understand this area very well. I talked before about the misty mountains that you see when you go over there. You mentioned Scotland, one of the first images that come to mind. And I mentioned your husband is good at this, bagpipe playing. Talk about that. Bagpipes associated with Scotland. Is that where they originated?
No, it really isn't. I did some research on that as I was curious myself about those bagpipes. They're several thousand years old. And there's an interesting drawing on a wall in Egypt that shows an instrument that's similar to the bagpipes. And, you know, we think that probably the bagpipes are many thousands of years old, or a form of the bagpipes. There's Irish bagpipes today, and even a slightly different type of bagpipe in Wales. So, you know, they've been around, and they're going to be around for a long time.
It's interesting. We give Scotland credit for that, but it goes back further in history. The book is Survival of the Blood. We're talking with the author, Beth Bristow. Her website is BethBristowAuthor.com. Book available at pageturner.us in the bookstore. Link on our website and get all of that information. Time is going by so quickly. I want to ask you about the clans of Scotland. Talk about the clans, and what was the purpose of the clans?
You know, I don't know that there's a purpose for the clans, but I do know that even today in the United States, there are clans of people that are close together. They're related people. I think the clans in Scotland's Highlands came about as a result of them wanting to gather together and be, you know, that togetherness means that you're safe.
Yes.
If you're with family, you're safe. At least that's what they hoped. And it's whether or not they were safe is a whole different story. But I do know that the clans, even today, if you find the same thing present in America and in, say, the Appalachian area, families tend to stick together. They want to be together. And That's sort of an old way of doing things. Families that stick together, stay together, protect one another, share things that need to be shared. And being a part of a group is sort of a human being necessity. We want to be part of a group. We really do. That's just a need that we have. The Scottish people were no different. They wanted to be together. They wanted to be with one another. So I guess it's just a human tradition, characteristic.
And you feel that as you read the book, Survival of the Blood. The book has received excellent reviews. Beth has been praised for her development of characters, her attention to detail. I mean, you feel like you're reading an interesting history book, as, and I wish I would have had one of those when I was studying history back in school, that told the story as well and on such a human level that Beth does in her book, Survival of the Blood. You talk about the different clans. You've got the Highlands, the Lowlands, the borders of Scotland. Are they all related or are each of those different?
I have to say, I think they're related. You know, I can't look back in the past and really say that for sure and certain, but I really think so. They all share Celtic ancestry, which means that they have common ancestors. Even with England, people in France all share a Celtic ancestry. And being Celtic means that those people all have a ancient heritage together. There's characteristics among all of those people of the seven Celtic nations that you will see even today, that they are very much alike. They're honest people. They're hardworking people. They are interested in their families. They love their children. I can almost tell you when I meet a person with a Celtic ancestry, because they are good people, hardworking people, honest people, yes, that are well thought of. That's a Celtic personality.
Amazing. That's passed down from generation to generation. We've got a couple minutes left. When you tell people you're Scottish, do you get the usual, okay, that means you're not going to buy lunch for me today. You're probably very thrifty and you enjoy probably good whiskey from time to time, as the Scots have that reputation. Is that a fair characterization,
yes,
or am I sort of grouping you in with stereotypes?
I'll have to say, I do enjoy the single malt barley whiskey. I really,
right,
really do. It's a favorite of mine. And I, you know, as I enjoy that, I know that I'm in good company, because there's just ever so many good people out there that enjoy the single malt whiskey. you know, I think it's one of the things that makes single malt whiskey so different is the fact that the grain has been partially germinated and been allowed to age a while before the brewing process begins. And the difference between a single grain whiskey and a single grain beer is the percentage of alcohol and the color and the taste of that drink. Single malt whiskey should be served without anything but a small amount of water alongside. You don't want to dilute it with anything.
Okay.
To do so would be an affront to the good Scottish people.
You know, that attention to detail, that meticulousness that you have is reflected in the book. You just feel like you're there going through this period. Survival of the Blood. Now, the sequel, you can find the usual places as well and on your website, Tragedy of the Blood. What are you working on now? Are you working on another book?
Writing another book. I did write another book. I wrote a second book called Tragedy of the Blood.
Yes.
That book tells the sad, horrible, painful story of the clearances, because King George finally got his way. He sent the people of Scotland away from their homeland forever. That, to me, is one of the most tragic things that has happened in all of Scotland's history. As I wrote about that time, my poor husband had to deal with me coming to bed bawling, because I was so sad to know that the people of Scotland were so badly abused,
yes,
and forced to leave their homeland forever. Those people had nothing to leave with. They had no money, no dignity, nothing. They had lost everything they had. And in order to buy tickets to be able to leave, they knew they had to leave their homeland. They knew they had to, no choice. But somehow, the Scottish people, with their tenacity for living, survived. I'd be darned if I know how. I've studied on this a lot and read about it and wrote about it. I still don't know how they managed to survive. I really do not. Because the King of England disliked them so intently that his hatred I don't know. That in itself is enough to keep most people down.
Well,
But the Scots survived and lived, and they maintained their dignity of some sort. And how they did it is beyond me. I will never understand it. As a writer, I just can't relate to a whole group of people being so abused, is the
yes.
word, really, abused. That and no one came to their aid. They had no one that they no one to depend on, nothing.
Well, the
All
book
in
is,
all, it was a tragic time, Rick. It
well,
really was.
yes, and you capture that so well, as I keep saying, but it's so true. The book we're talking about specifically on the program is Survival of the Blood by Beth Bristow. The other book is Tragedy of the Blood. Books available at all Amazon sites, Barnes & Noble, Page Turner's Bookstore, Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia and New Zealand. Beth's website is BethBristowAuthor.com, and Bristow is Bristow, BethBristowAuthor.com. Facebook page, as I mentioned, Scotland, Beloved Country. Some great pictures on her website as well. Beth, I got a minute or so left here. I know you've been working, I mentioned Page Turner, working with them on the book. What has that experience been like, being an author and working with Page Turner and getting this remarkably so well-told story out to people to enjoy?
Oh, that Page Turner is just an awesome group of people who I've just really enjoyed being a part of their work ethic. They are good people and they've been very supportive for me. Being an author, you know, it's important to know that, you know, you've written a good book and people are going to enjoy it.
Yes.
They've just been very supportive of me in that. And I appreciate that very, very much. I think it's even more important. You know, today, as we go about our lives and we're busy and there's so many things we want to do and have to do and all that, it's still important to find a little bit of time for yourself and to be able to sit down, pick up a good book and read and relax a little bit, maybe have a little wee dram of single malt whiskey
Got that. And
and,
I know how
you
to
know,
look for
and
that now.
just enjoy life, really. That's what it's all about anyway.
Well, spend
So
some time with the book that Beth has written so well, Survival of the Blood. PageTurner.us/bookstores, where you'll find it, other places as well. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to Beth's website. Beth, a pleasure having him on the program. Thank you so much for joining us. The book is Survival of the Blood. Great to have you with us on the program today.
oh, you know what? The pleasure's all mine. And I thank you so much, Rick. It's been so good visiting with you. And I just appreciate your, you know, you're a very likable person
Oh,
and
well,
that
thank
just
you.
comes across.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's our pleasure to have you on the program. And again, Beth
Oh, you're
Bristow,
very
Survival of the
welcome.
Blood.
Thank you, Rick.
You're welcome. Information on Beth and her book on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.